Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Two to go. Two more names of the eight members of the missionary team or members of the church at Corinth would probably be a better designation that were with Paul when Paul was writing this epistle from the city of Corinth to the church at Rome. And he writes in verse 21 of chapter 16, Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my countrymen, greet you. Verse 22, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. Verse 23, Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you, and Quartus, a brother. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you. Who was he? Well, his name and position are given to us here. Erastus, the city treasurer. Here's a man who held high political office in the city of Corinth, and he was a Christian and a member of the church at Corinth. He was the treasurer. He was the oikonomos, a steward, an estate manager is what this word indicates if it's used in a more private way, as for example in Luke chapter 16, you recall the parable of the unjust steward, same Greek word, oikonomos. Luke 16:1, and he said also to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. The unjust steward, oikonomos. Well, that's the same word, but when it is the steward of the city, the closest thing in our language today would indeed be city treasurer or financial manager. Or director of public works, or manager of public lands. Any of these are possible designations and descriptions of what this man did and who he was. I've got a brother-in-law who is the financial manager of a pretty good-sized city in another state, and has been for many, many years. So this is somebody of a similar rank. This is probably not the Erastus in Acts 19:22 or in 2 Timothy 4:20, but it is probably the Erastus that is found on a marble inscription unearthed by archaeologists and attached to the city of Corinth. In other words, this man evidently was indeed a very prominent man, maybe more prominent than the term financial manager would generally indicate in our day. City manager is quite a possibility. Actually, the marble inscription of the city of Corinth is Aedile of Corinth, Erastus the Aedile of Corinth, which is not the same as oikonomos, but this would probably indicate that Erastus, who was the oikonomos, the city treasurer or financial manager, later was promoted to Aedile, which is akin to city manager. Whatever he was, and I'll leave that to scholars greater than myself to sort this out and figure it out, but whatever he was, it's very obvious, he was a high-ranking government official and a Christian and a member of the Church of Corinth. I think that's what we said at the beginning before we tried to delve into all of these details, and that's what we get to at the end. He was a high-ranking government official and a Christian and a member of the Church of Corinth. What did he do to contribute to the Lord's work? Well, we are not told. Presumably, he maintained an open Christian testimony in the halls of city government. He certainly doesn't shrink from having his name publicly mentioned in this epistle of Paul to the Roman church. If he was trying to hide his Christian identity, trying to shelter himself from whatever shame or ridicule or persecution might be attached to the cause of Christ, the name of Christian, this would be a funny way to be going about it. He was not ashamed of the name of Christ. And he evidently served faithfully enough in the church of Corinth to be included here by name. Not all the members of the church are included. A small handful are. He's one of them. That would seem to indicate that in addition to being the financial manager of the city, he also held a prominent position in the church. The two do not automatically go together, and we need to be careful that we do not try to automatically blend those two concepts together, but where it is spiritually warranted, how we praise God for it. What I'm saying is that we do not select officers and leaders in the church on the basis of their wealth or prominence in our city. Their social prominence, their political prominence. That is unfortunately done far too often, and it is wrong. It is shameful. Just because a person is prominent economically or socially does not mean that he should automatically be given a prominent position in the church. He should not. The church is the place where spiritual qualifications alone qualify a person for position of leadership. The church is a place where a slave in these early New Testament days could theoretically be an officer and his master be simply a church member. The slave could wield some authority over his master in the church. I wonder how many slave owners would be willing to accept a position like that. That's usually not the way it goes in society. That's not the way it happened back in the pre-Civil War days in the South, back in the antebellum days in the South. There were times it was not unheard of for masters and slaves to be members of the same church, or at least to attend the same church. I don't know if the slaves were allowed membership, but to imagine a slave, for example, being selected as an elder in the church and his master just being a regular member of the church, you can't hardly imagine such a thing. But that's the way it ought to be. That's evidently the way it was in New Testament days. And so when we find here that the man who is prominent in city government and in city social circles, and evidently is also prominent in the church, we would believe and certainly fervently hope that he was both because he qualified for both. He qualified to be city manager because of his good reputation in the city, and he qualified for influence in the church because of his good spiritual reputation in the house of God. And so here's a man who may have served faithfully enough in government to be promoted to the highest position in the city of Corinth, in spite of the fact that he was a Christian. In a day when Christianity was certainly in the minority and was generally persecuted. But here's a man who evidently was able to do that only by the appointment of God. But such a thing is not impossible. And what we learn from that is that Christians must realize that government is not the enemy, and government officials are not the enemy. One can be a dedicated Christian and serve in government. Did I say that it would be easy? No. But then really, where is serving the Lord easy in any position, frankly, if you have a real, bold, outspoken Christian witness, where anywhere in society is that going to be an easy matter? But here's a man who evidently had a strong Christian testimony and rose right up to the very top of his political structure in the government of his large, large city. And so, yes, it is possible to be a dedicated Christian and to serve in government. I've heard many people say that's not possible. You can't do it. You have to compromise. There's so much corruption. It's not possible. It's not easy, but it's not impossible. And wouldn't it be wonderful if there were many faithful Christians, members of their churches, who did serve in positions of government and who commended themselves by their integrity and by their graciousness and by their faithfulness, by their hard work ethic, by their production, commended themselves and rose up through the ranks of government, whether appointed or elected, and filled prominent positions within civil government in our day. Actually, there are Christians like that in government today. Maybe more than we realize. Yes, they often get targeted for unfair attacks when they come under scrutiny in the press, when they come under scrutiny in some kind of prominent position or some kind of a political deal that's going on. Many times Christians will be singled out for persecution. Judges who are Christians, who are being appointed to a higher position, often are unfairly maligned. It's not easy. It is not easy to be a Christian and to hold a prominent position in government. The enemies of Christ are looking to gun people like that down. But why should we, as Christians, shy away from something just because it's difficult? We should not. And how we ought to thank God for those who are Christians who serve in government. And every one of us need to remember that we can serve God wherever we are, wherever God has put you. And God does lead some people into governmental positions. God does sometimes save people who are already in governmental positions. It can happen either way. Saving people who are already there and making them God's children and changing their perspective and their outlook, their way of doing things. And also taking people who are already Christians and placing them in those positions and moving them up through the ranks. What a blessing that is to society. What a blessing that is to the people of God to have friends like that in high places. What a wonderful way to serve the Lord if God equips you and appoints you to a place of service like that. And don't think that government is always the enemy. Don't think that government officials are always the enemy, because sometimes God has His children, His people, in those very positions. And how grateful we are when that is so. And Erastus, evidently, was one such person to show us the way. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.